Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, since the last time we spoke, the Packers' 2017 schedule was released. And you don't have to look far to find some big-time matchups, some potential drama early in the season. Week one at home against Seattle. Week two at Atlanta in a rematch of the NFC Championship game. Those first 2 weeks jump right off the page, don't they?
They really do. I mean, when we've got the schedule and got a chance to look at it a week ago, I mean, that was the biggest thing that really shot out at you is the fact that we knew Seattle was coming back to Lambeau Field and the rivalry between those teams, you know, these last 4 or 5 years, how big that is. But to start the season off with the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, you know, you look at Michael Bennett, now his brother Martellus being on the Packers roster.
Sure.
Eddie Lacy making that transition now going into the Seahawks system. That was probably the biggest thing for me is seeing really the two most consistent powers in the NFC now over the last 5 years getting a chance to face off again. And really, when you look at the beginning of a season, Mike, and that importance of that first game, we saw it back in 2014 when the Packers traveled to CenturyLink. It's paramount to really be able to gain that early momentum.
Yeah, that the game back in 2014 in the opener was really a game that went a long way in determining the fact that the NFC Championship was then in Seattle and not in Green Bay, even though we always talk about it's more important how you're playing in December going into the playoffs. But these early games, especially against your conference opponents, your conference contenders, can determine the seeding and where some of those playoff games are played. Another interesting storyline with the Seattle game, you mentioned Eddie Lacy and the Bennett brothers. For all the talk about the Packers' defensive backfield, their secondary, and how they need to shore things up for 2017, Russell Wilson's coming back to Lambeau Field after throwing 5 interceptions against that secondary last December in a game that that really kind of started a bit of a nosedive, you might say, for Seattle, where they did not get out of the divisional round then of the playoffs ultimately. So so a lot there's plenty of time to talk about it, but as far as a week one matchup, there's going to be a lot of hype for this one.
Well, you bring up a good point, Mike, because I think it goes back to that value of balance. And last year, Seattle just wasn't able to get their running game going. They had so many different guys that they were circling in back there, and it put a lot more pressure on Russell Wilson. And obviously, when you look at that game, first time in his career he had that many turnovers in the NFL, just was unlike him. So Packers want to keep that going. They want to keep that momentum at Lambeau Field against the Seahawks. And again, you pick up a win there, it really probably will have big implications for the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely could. Week two then, Packers head to Atlanta, opening the brand new stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, in Atlanta. Second year in a row, the Packers will be opening a new stadium on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
They did so in Minnesota last year in a game that ended up being, you know, quite the barn burner, a 3-point decision there that went in favor of the Vikings. But this one's a rematch of the NFC Championship game. The Packers, obviously, the season did not end the way they wanted it to in Atlanta back in January. And this will be, you know, who knows if the Falcons are going to be raising some NFC championship banner or something like that. You know, the Packers will maybe have to stand there and bitterly swallow it before the game starts. But again, another game that's going to have a ton of hype leading up to it.
Yeah, I don't know what the Falcons' plans are for that night, but if I was them, I maybe would hold off on the NFC, you know, championship banner hanging just with how tough that Super Bowl was. I don't know if I'd be a fan of the Falcons if that's exactly what I want to see the first game of the season. But be that as it may, you and I were there at U.S. Bank Stadium last year. Just the energy in that place, the crowd, how into it. That's as loud of a stadium as I've been in. And I have to imagine that the Atlanta Falcons and their fans are going to be doing something very similar now with Mercedes-Benz Stadium, being able to unveil that. We saw the construction of it last year in the two stops we had in Atlanta, seeing that place go up right next door to the Georgia Dome. It's going to be a lot of energy in that place. And for the Packers, it's going to be another one of those things they're just going to have to overcome, because when you are one of the top teams in the NFC, you're going to be put in positions like this. And for them, that's going to be a big advantage again for the Falcons, being able to get that energy going, get that enthusiasm there and, you know, potentially, you know, translate that into a Sunday night football game.
Yeah, and it's interesting, a little scheduling quirk in a sense that the Falcons are opening their season with two NFC North opponents.
Right.
They go to Chicago and play the Bears in week one, and then they come home in week two to open their new stadium against the Packers. So kind of unusual how that worked out from their standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably remember this better than I do, but I can't think of any other teams that have opened a stadium. I guess Minnesota did it last year in week two. I don't know if that's becoming commonplace now, that because in the past it was always that week one game.
Yeah.
You want to be able to spotlight that, you know, get it on a big primetime game and get eyes on it. But Atlanta will come back after Chicago and you know, have a chance to open their stadium in style. But from the Packers' perspective, it's going to be a big game too for them, coming off that you know, for them hoping to be a victory against the Seahawks and seeing if they can turn their fortunes against Atlanta and maybe, you know, turn their favor in a little bit different direction here going into 2017.
Yeah, well, we've got plenty more about the 2017 schedule to talk about, Wes. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, when you look at the rest of the Packers schedule, a lot of things kind of jump out. New Orleans Saints coming to Lambeau Field. Adrian Peterson in a New Orleans Saints uniform coming to Lambeau. The Packers and Steelers are going to play a primetime game at Heinz Field under the lights on Thanksgiving weekend on Sunday Night Football. But aside from weeks one and two, the other thing that jumped out at me the most when I saw this schedule was the last 2 weeks. Week 16, just like last year, the Minnesota Vikings will be coming to Lambeau Field right around Christmas time. And then week 17 at Detroit. As we all know, last year that was the game for the NFC North title. And the NFC North title has been on the line in week 17 for several years running here. Is it going to happen again?
Well, history would say it will. And the thing is, too, you know, last year I remember there was some conversation, a little bit of a narrative about the NFC North and potentially being down. If you look at it, Mike, these past 5 years, I would argue it's probably been the most consistent top, really, division in the NFC because, yeah, you've had Carolina make a run and Atlanta make a run, but very few times have you seen two teams really break out at the same time. And for the Packers' perspective, they've been right up there the entire time, and it seems like it's been Chicago, it was Minnesota, and now it's been Detroit. So there really, no one's ran away with this thing at all. So I would anticipate, even, you know, if you have an 11-win Packer team, there's still going to be, you know, a 10-win Lions team or a 10-win Vikings team that's going to be really breathing down their neck. So I envision that that'll end up coming down to the wire once again. And when they made the change with the CBA in 2010, that's why they made that switch. So Packers have a little bit interesting quirk at the end of the season. Three of their last four are on the road, but going back into Ford Field, after being able to triumph there last season, you go back to 2015 and the Hail Mary.
Right.
They've had some success despite those circumstances. So if nothing else, they're battle-tested for that that situation. But right now it's listed as a noon game, and very easily we could see that thing being flexed as it has been the past few years.
Yeah, we saw that it was flexed to primetime last year, and as it turned out, both the Lions and the Packers were then in the playoffs because of the results earlier in the day, but then the game still decided the division championship and who would be playing at home versus who would be going on the road. And the Lions, it's an interesting choice to me, Packers and Lions again in Week 17, because they are the two teams from the NFC North that made the postseason last year. That's not to discount the Chicago Bears and certainly not the Minnesota Vikings, who started 5-0
right
in 2016 before they hit some rough patches there. But this Packers-Lions thing in Week 17, I think the Packers would prefer, obviously, that it be at Lambeau Field. But you just have a feeling that there's a really good chance the division title is not going to be decided until those Week 17 games, Bears playing the Vikings and Packers playing the Lions, take place.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, the way it's worked out, because even though you had, you know, Minnesota made the playoffs in 2012, but then they went and scheduled the Packers to play the Bears, which ended up being for the NFC North title in 2013. Well, then the Bears barely missed the playoffs that year, and yet they end up having Detroit. So it's been very curious that there have been situations where teams from the NFC North have made the playoffs, but yet they've switched the opponent the last week of the regular
yeah
season.
Yeah.
This is the one case where it's been the two same opponents, I think, in back-to-back seasons since they've made that switch. So this is why they did it. The NFL wants to have that drama. They wanted things to come down the wire, and they want a compelling matchup for Week 17. The NFC North has obliged them the last few years. But when you look at Detroit, how well that they're built right now, I think Bob Quinn has done some really smart, savvy moves there. They believe in their quarterback. They believe in the foundation that they're building up front. The defense is one area where I think they need to continue kind of restructuring that after some pretty solid years. But overall, the unit is built there to last, and that's one thing that I think they're taking from that Packers model and trying to translate it in their own way.
Yeah. Any other interesting little things about the schedule that jump out at you? One other, it's a smaller thing, but there's a stretch in the second half of the season, a four-week stretch where the Packers are going to play three games against AFC North opponents in a stretch of 4 weeks, and that's unusual to have. You only have those four games against AFC opponents within a given schedule, and to have three of them kind of clumped together there within a month's time, that seems unusual to me.
It is, but I still take it over what happened last year. I really didn't like opening the season in Jacksonville, and nothing against the Jaguars and nothing against the climate down there, but it just really didn't have that feel of, okay, this is the beginning of the regular season.
I didn't like the climate down there.
I had to get that suit dry cleaned like twice. There was so much perspiration there. But the thing is that being able to start off against a Seattle or a New Orleans or one of these teams that there's a history with, I like that. So, yeah, you're throwing in these games. You're going to Pittsburgh. You're going to Cleveland. And you have these matchups that kind of the way they've set up to face the uncommon opponent in one very long stretch. But overall, I was in favor of it. Also, the thing you can't argue with, the Week 8 bye is huge.
Yeah.
If not for the players, for the reporters. I mean, just being able to have more of a midway point. I think you saw that when you look at, you know, the Twitter account of HaHa Clinton Dix. I think TJ Lang tweeted about it. That's really the biggest thing that players care about right now is where that bye is. That Week 4 bye is such a challenge. It's not to say it can't be overcome, but it really is tough to go 3 months without a break. So being able to get a little bit more of a normal midway point to kind of propel yourself in the second half of the season, I'm sure the Packers would like it if they didn't have to play on a Monday night after that bye Detroit. But overall, I just think when you look at the schedule, it's set up a lot better for the conditioning of your football team.
Yeah, and if there's one thing I'd like to see Mother Nature deliver, it's Sunday night, Thanksgiving weekend, a little snow in Pittsburgh for this Roethlisberger-Rodgers matchup. I think that'd be a lot, and make for some really good TV.
But not so much that we can't get out of Pittsburgh that night. That's the other thing.
Yeah, we still got to get home. All right, with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, shifting gears from the schedule to talking about the NFL draft, which is now just a matter of days away. The 2017 NFL draft being hosted by the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, right on near the steps of the art museum there where Rocky Balboa made his whole training regimen famous. I don't know why I went on that tangent.
Because but Rocky anyhow, is amazing. Yeah. That's why you did that.
Yeah. But anyway, the Packers have 8 picks, 29th in the first round, 8 picks overall, one in each of the 7 rounds, plus a compensatory pick at the end of the 5th round. You actually got a question in our insider inbox about this. With 8 picks, how many players are the Packers actually going to take? The implication being, how much will Ted Thompson trade around, up or back, this or that? What do you think?
I said 8, but I said not just your standard 8. I think they'll trade up once, and I think they'll trade back once. Ted moves. I mean, that's the one thing that I think has sort of been almost sort of a dark comedy sort of thing, is people joking over the years about, you know, how active he's been in terms of his positioning. We've never seen him actually trade up from his first round pick. We did see him trade back into the first round to take Clay Matthews in 2009. We saw him trade out of it in 2008 and then taking Jordy Nelson in the second round.
Right.
But he's never actually moved up from his current number to another position. So that's one thing that's still hanging out there. But otherwise, he's done it all. He's traded up to take a guy in the second round. He's traded back at times if the, if you know the value was right. So he does move around. I mean, those are his commodities. This is the one thing we always talk about. Compensatory picks, all that stuff, it doesn't drive the primary motivation of the Packers, but it's something that they really like to take advantage of when it does work in their favor. They got a fifth-round pick for Casey Hayward a year ago, so that gives them the ability now with the change that they made to actually move that pick if they want to.
Yeah, you can trade those compensatory picks now.
In the past, you couldn't. So there's more flexibility there. So I think it's going to be an active few days. There's a lot of things the Packers want to do. You heard Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson talk about the fact they need to add a running back. There's other positions I think a lot of people have looked at that could use some areas to address. So I expect an active few days. I don't know what you think, but
I agree with you. I think it's going to be active, if nothing else, in terms of looking at Ted Thompson's track record. Only once in 12 drafts has he not made at least one trade to move around, and that was in 2014. Now, that was a pretty good draft. You got Clinton Dix, Davante Adams, Corey Linsley, Richard Rodgers, Jeff Janis. All those guys came from that 2014 draft when he actually stayed where he was and took every pick at that particular spot. But that is definitely not the norm for Ted Thompson. His track record is to move around, as you said, sometimes up, sometimes back. I have a feeling, this is just a gut feeling on my part, but with the what they're talking about with the depth of this draft, at positions the Packers certainly have needs on the roster, pass rusher, cornerback, running back. The depth of some of those positions, I just think that at the end of the day, or at the end of the 3 days, I should say, that the Packers are going to end up with more than their eight picks, because I think there are just going to be opportunities to move back and kind of stockpile at some of those positions of need.
Yeah, one thing that really plays to their favor is the positions where there is a perceived need are actually positions I think a lot of pundits are in agreement that are pretty deep. When you look at the cornerback position, you know, the defensive back, there's a lot of guys there. Packers really don't have a need at tight end anymore, but this has been considered probably the deepest tight end class in a number of years after so many years of us talking about how thin that crop is.
Yeah, I'm not ruling out the Packers taking a tight end, though, even with bringing in these two veteran guys. If with what they're talking about, the talent level at tight end in this draft, I don't think you can just completely dismiss it, because you don't know if you're going to have an opportunity in the next couple years to get a guy of maybe this caliber.
Right, and another thing to keep in mind, even though the Packers, during a big stretch of last year, only kept two tight ends on their active roster, they've had as many as five during Ted Thompson's time, Mike McCarthy's time in Green Bay. So they like that position. That could be one they address. But pass rusher, there seems to be some really solid options early on. Offensive line is the one area that is probably thinner than most years, but there are some guys that could potentially be a guard-type prospect for them. So a lot of things for them to figure out, but at the same time, with the amount of depth that there is there, it gives them an opportunity now if you get into day two and day three to really address the position of need if you don't get it right off the bat.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got a little bit more to talk about with the draft, and we'll keep at it. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, continuing our discussion, of the upcoming NFL draft. Packers will be on the clock somewhere late into the evening on Thursday at number 29 overall, assuming that there isn't a trade up of some kind, which, as you mentioned in the last segment, would be a first for Ted Thompson in terms of that first-round pick. Do you have any sort of a gut feeling as to maybe what position the Packers might take with that 29th pick? It's always going to be hard to say exactly which players are going to be available, but what's your take right now?
Well, it is interesting, Mike, because you go back and all you can really go off of is history. Ted Thompson, you know, he says they're open to anything in any scenario. Would not surprise me with Ted Thompson. I mean, the Aaron Rodgers thing in 2005 proved they're going to take the best player available.
That's right.
But at the same time, pass rusher and cornerback have been areas where they've really addressed there early on. They don't need a tackle. That's one that they've used first-round picks on before,
right,
unless they think there's a guy that they're going to move inside. But you look at it, an area of need is running back. The Packers haven't taken one in the first round since 1990. They haven't taken a true guard in the first round since 1994 with Aaron Taylor. So it lends you to think that pass rusher and cornerback could potentially be where they're looking. Now, that being said, as I already cautioned, nothing would surprise me. But it does look, I mean, this year, cornerback is incredibly deep. I mean, there's 6-7 guys that could conceivably go in the first round. Pass rusher, there's some legit prospects that could be there for them at the end of the first round. The situation never unfolds like you expect it to. There's always going to be a move that gets made or a trade that gets made that affects everything and shifts the landscape. But I think the one thing that has been proven this year is that with the depth of this draft, depending on what the Packers want to do at number 29, stay or move, whatever, that there probably will be a very good prospect available there for them that, that could potentially be ready to contribute immediately.
I agree with you with the position discussion. I think, and again, this is just my gut feeling, I think at 29, the Packers are either going to get a pass rusher who's there, a cornerback who's there, or they're going to trade back and just recoup more picks. I know running back is a need. I expect the Packers to draft at least one, if not two, running backs, but I don't expect the first-round pick to be used at running back. Offensive line, there's obviously an open starting position at right guard. We heard from Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't even necessarily think the Packers need to draft somebody. I think they'll draft an offensive lineman to add to that competition mix at right guard, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be a first-round draft pick. And then the Packers did use a first-round draft pick last year on a defensive lineman. Now, you could always go defensive line again. You can never have enough big guys. Right. It never hurts to load up on the big guys. But just all of those circumstances, you know, put together just makes me think, and with the analysts talking about the depth of pass rushers, the depth of cornerbacks, I think there will be a very good player at one of those two positions to take at 29, or the Packers will just back up and you know, recoup an extra second round or third round pick and end up with more guys to be able to take on Friday and Saturday.
I look at it a lot as 2013 in that second round where the Packers moved back and then took Eddie Lacy, where it wouldn't necessarily be because there isn't the right guy, but just that there's quite a few guys and maybe you can get some more value moving back a few spots. The one thing I thought was really interesting, getting back to your point on defensive line, is I was putting together a position by position story for this past week on the website. Defensive line's the one position where they've actually taken at least one player at it in all of these past 11 drafts for Ted Thompson. It's also conceivably one of their deepest positions on the roster, but will be interesting to see over those 3 days if they add another body to that group, because as you said, those big guys with that skill and athletic ability, they don't come around often.
Yeah, if one of those guys happens to fall that analysts are talking about as a legitimate first-round guy, you can't just let him go, right? So with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.